The following program is brought to you by Winthrop University Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you can get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health. From diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, the chairman of urology at Winthrop University Hospital in New York, here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
I like it. Good morning, everyone. New intro, same Katz here on WABC Radio. Good morning, everyone. Dr. Aaron Katz with you, live on WABC here in New York. Another chilly weekend. I'm live at 1-800-848-WABC. It's 1-800-848-9222. So glad that you could join me on this rather chilly weekend. Hope you're all staying warm, having a wonderful weekend. Good morning, Mike and Aaron in the studio. Aaron will take your phone calls. If you have a question, you can reach me at 1-800-848-9222. Seems this is the, at least for me anyway, on these chilly nights, at least on the weekends, I've spent a lot of time in the movie theater with my wife. We've seen a lot of movies, a lot of good movies out. I don't know if you've seen any, but the ones that I've seen that are great is The Imitation Game, Whiplash, Sniper, and last night I saw the new Kevin Costner movie called Black or White, which I thought did a great job dealing with some of the issues that come about today and the racial tensions that have come up over the past few weeks. Not dealing necessarily with race, but there certainly is a aspect of the movie that deals with it, and we enjoyed it quite a bit. Although I must tell you, the guy sitting in front of me was so annoying. Cell phone almost the entire time, and I didn't. You know, it was very annoying to me, and I didn't want to make a big deal about it. So I tried to keep moving in my seat so I wouldn't see the light. I should have said something. Then I was saying to myself, you know, if I say something, it's probably going to come off bad. I'm going to come off angry, which I was angry. And then I was thinking, well, so I just didn't say anything. I just kind of moved around in the seat. Anyway, if you'd like to call me, 1-800-848-9222. We have a few announcements before we get into the formal part of the show, where I'll talk about a few of the recent journal articles which have come up. We are running a new clinical trial that has opened. It's called the Spartan Trial. It is a research trial. It's for men that have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I am the principal investigator. And it is a study that is designed to find out if this new investigational medication will be effective and safe in delaying prostate cancer from spreading. So the study is for men who have prostate cancer and it's no longer responding to hormone therapy, but has not yet metastasized. And eligible patients will get all the study medications and their blood tests free, no cost. And any additional procedures or tests that are required will also be provided for free. And if you want to learn more about this, you can call my nurse at Winthrop University Hospital's Office of Clinical Trials. That's 516-663-9582. We are, of course, in what's turning out to be, well, a new face in Mineola. We have a brand new research building that just opened. I went to the ribbon cutting this weekend. Beautiful, beautiful building. Which is focusing on diabetes and obesity. And to that end, so let me just say, so that number again is 516-663-9582. And in the light of how obesity and diabetes affects many different cancers, and one of them is prostate cancer, we have also a trial that we have been running using metformin, which is a very common medication for diabetes. And metformin has been shown in a number of studies to interfere with the insulin receptor on cancer cells. And we are looking at this medication in patients that have had prostate cancer in the past, treated with either radiation or radical surgery, and their PSAs are rising. And we've had some great results. It's early on in the trial. Again, this is a free trial, so you would get the metformin. It's not a placebo-controlled trial, so you would get this medication for free. And you can call my office at 516-535-1900 if you're interested to see if you would be eligible for the metformin trial. I'm going to take your phone calls. We have a few on the line now at 1-800-848-9222. And then I'm going to go over some interesting articles that came up in the medical journals, some in JAMA, some in urology journals dealing with prostate cancer. So, okay, let's go to Joe in the phone. Good morning in West New York.
Hi, I called you last week and told you my PSA had doubled, and you advised me to go for a prostate ultrasound, and I did.
Okay.
I know the results here. They didn't get there Saturday. They should be there Monday. But they found a stone in my prostate, and he feels that it could have aggravated my PSA and suggested I do an MRI. And I had sent it to you, and I wanted you to look at it. I made an appointment to see you in March.
Right.
And I don't know.
What's the question, though, now?
Well, the question is now, I'm going to get the MRI, see what happens there. Now, I wasn't sure whether it was malignancy or a...
Well, stones in the prostate can occur. Typically, we see things like calcifications in the prostate, yeah, which may or may not be related to diet. Typically not. Usually, someone like yourself... And how old are you, sir?
73.
So usually someone at 73 can get calcifications in many different organs in the body, specifically the aorta, which is the main blood vessel in the body. If you were to get a CAT scan of your aorta, over time, through diet, high cholesterol, lipids and fats, cholesterol, calcifications can deposit in these areas. Sometimes they're concerning. If it's in a heart vessel, it can be concerning. It can lead to... And actually, you can get a calcification score, a coronary calcification score. In the prostate, it may not be as life-concerning, for sure, but it may be anxiety-provoking because it can irritate the surrounding tissues in the prostate and raise the PSA level. Usually not a malignancy, although we do know that over time, if it irritates the gland and causes inflammation, well, you're right, irritation and inflammation can lead to cancer. So how high is the PSA?
It was always low. I told you, too, I'm on hormone therapy for the last 11 years. It was a 2.
And you're on hormone therapy for prostate cancer?
No.
Why are you on hormone? Oh, you're on testosterone therapy.
Yeah, testosterone therapy.
Right, you did tell me that. Yes, yeah, testosterone supplementation for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. So that's why I was concerned. It was 2 and went up to 380. It was always around 2. Throughout all these years.
And then it went up to 3.8. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, Joe, we'll have to take a look at the MRI and see. And it's interesting, and thanks for your phone call.
And I did send you a copy like you asked for.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. I'll take a look at it first thing Monday morning. That'll be first on the agenda. I'll take a look at Joe's MRI, and I'm going to talk. It's interesting that he brings up this phone call because there was an article this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, looking at the role of MRI in prostate cancer biopsies and whether or not we should be moving in this direction, that whether or not everyone should be getting who gets a prostate biopsy should get an MRI first. The article came out of the group at the NIH, Dr. Peter Pinto, who I know quite well, comparing the old standard biopsies to the new biopsies. And it certainly looks like the newer way of doing things may be, there's a caution, there's a question mark, but maybe the way we are moving in the future. However, the question is going to be who's going to pay for all of these MRIs. They certainly are expensive. And I'll tell you, my office staff spends an enormous amount of time on the phone every week trying to get insurance carriers, not Medicare. Medicare, you don't have to get pre-approved. They'll just they'll do it. I just wonder how much this is adding to the already huge amount of money that we are spending on the Medicare budget. And is it going to make that much of a difference? Don in Belmore. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hi, Doctor. I spoke to you last week. My baseline PSA...
A lot of callers from last week. Okay, go ahead.
My baseline PSA was 2.92 2 months ago, and it shot up to 25, and I'm on Cipro now for prostatitis. My Holter monitor just came back, and it read some QTC prolongation, arrhythmia, and I know Cipro isn't good for that. What would you recommend, and could I see you next week?
Well, the question is, you know, A, did you get a urine culture? Because
it was negative.
It was negative. So, you say you have prostatitis and your PSA spiked up to 25, which is a rather large spike. So, why did it go up? Did you get a urine test? Did you get a urine? A prostate culture, a urine test after a prostate massage, because you could have bacteria in the prostate. You know, the prostate is kind of like this shell underneath the bladder, and you could have an infection in there, and it may not get out. The bacteria may not get out into the urine. So the urine culture could be clean, and yet you could have a lot of bacteria there in the prostate. And the only way to know that, Don, is if you were to get a semen culture. Did you get that?
No. No.
Okay. So then we're just kind of shooting in the dark, so to speak, kind of just empirically putting you on an antibiotic to say, all right, we think Don has an infection. Do you have symptoms of an infection?
Oh, I have urgency, and I had some burning when the Cipro helped, did help. But I'm willing to see you, and if you would, it just takes time to get these appointments. But
yeah, you could give my office a call. I think that the next best antibiotic for you is something that is sulfur-based called Bactrim. Bactrim double strength, one tablet twice a day, typically for 2 weeks. I don't like to treat much longer than that. A lot of doctors treating for like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I think that's quite a bit of long amount of time, and then you probably should take some probiotics with that as well, Don.
Right. Okay.
But are your symptoms, your symptoms are still kind of bothering you, is that right?
Every 2 hours I void. So,
you know, it's hard to know, Don, if the symptoms that you're having, and it's very typical. And I'll tell you, this week, wow, it was the prostate business was enormous. I mean, the men that are coming in, and I just think that it's because of the cold weather. I think that the cold weather has something to do with it, where it kind of tightens the pelvis, and men are not tightens the muscles in the pelvis around the prostate, and you're not expelling as much urine, and you wind up going very frequently. I can't tell you the number of guys that have come in this week with new onset of urinary symptoms, and we all think, well, it's probably an infection. It may not be, you know. If you are retaining urine, certainly then that can predispose you to having an infection. But I've seen a lot of guys this week where we do an ultrasound of the bladder after you urinate, which is called a post-void residual, and it's not much urine in the bladder. And he's like, well, why are you going so often, you know? And I think it has to do with a change in the weather. And many men also are getting colds, some flus I see occasionally, but more colds and feeling run down. And then you wind up taking these over-the-counter cold remedies. And that contains medication in it, which can affect the receptors in the prostate. I don't know if are you doing any of that, Don? Taking any sinus tablets or anything like that?
Doesn't apply to me.
Doesn't apply to you, but I do see that quite a bit, Don.
Okay. So I could see you possibly Tuesday, maybe, in the Garden City? Or
yes, you can call the office, 516-535-1900, and we can certainly see you. We see patients Monday. I see patients Monday and Wednesday out in Garden City. Be happy to see you, Don.
All right. You'll squeeze me in?
We'll squeeze you in. We'll squeeze you in. We squeeze in a lot of people. Glad to take care of you, and thanks for calling back. If you have a phone call, if you have a question, you can call me at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC, and I will take your phone calls live. The other article that came out this week as I was searching the medical journals is an article looking at the, again, in the MRI realm, stating that if you have a negative MRI, meaning if you have prostate cancer, and one of the first things that I do, and I see a lot of men that come to me and they say, you know, I was recommended to have surgery, I was recommended to have radiation, I'm not really sure I need that, what do you think? The first thing I do is I look at the biopsy to see if I feel that this gentleman would be a candidate for active surveillance. And then if the pathology that I feel, the biopsy that they've had, I feel is amenable to patients, to someone that would be a candidate for active surveillance, I jump to an MRI if they have not had an MRI. Usually wait 2 months, and then get an MRI. And this paper that just came out in Urology, which is titled Magnetic Resonance Invisible versus Visible Cancer on the MRI, showing disease outcomes, and stating that if you have had an MRI and they don't see any cancer, you say, well, how could you not see cancer? You told me that the biopsy shows that there's cancer. That doesn't make sense. The fact is that a lot of men that are getting biopsies because of the PSA that goes up, and they get a biopsy, and the disease that they find is so small, it's microscopic, and you can't see it on an MRI. Now, I like the MRI because I want to make sure that nothing was missed on the biopsy, because biopsies are sampling, you know, and even though we're doing what I was just talking about, this fusion-guided biopsy, where we just target a lesion if we can see it, there are some patients, many patients, that get diagnosed, you don't see anything on the MRI. And so this report, which actually came out of Johns Hopkins, was stating that if there is nothing to be seen on MRI, this is an excellent prognostic indicator, and the likelihood of men needing treatment or an intervention down the line is significantly reduced. And also, we could tailor or reduce the frequency of surveillance biopsies. Now, some centers, and Hopkins is one of them, a great center of excellence for prostate cancer, no doubt, as well as here in the city, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. But a lot of the doctors on surveillance have been biopsying men every year. That's not my protocol. That is not my approach. I feel that and my data will support this, that if you have a stable PSA, a stable digital examination, and a negative or a stable MRI, then I do not rebiopsy you. You say, well, why not rebiopsy? Why not just go ahead and rebiopsy everyone? Well, there's problems with rebiopsying. I mean, men can go into a retention. You know, you have a prostate, you're sticking in 12, 16, 22 needles into the prostate. It can inflame the prostate. And it can make urinating difficult, especially if you're on the borderline. You know, if you're somebody that already has some urinary issues and then you have this biopsy, you could wind up needing a catheter. You could wind up with an infection. You know, the data will state around the country that around 3% of men who undergo a prostate biopsy will develop a severe infection requiring sometimes hospitalization. And then there's this notion out there, and I don't know where this comes about, but it's wrong, and I've said it before. There's a notion that prostate biopsies spread cancer. It's wrong. The prostate biopsies do not spread cancer. I've never seen it in my almost 30 years of doing this. So I don't think that that's a reason, you know, to not do a biopsy. And you can have a little blood in the urine, but that's not a reason not to do a biopsy, because, you know, that's just transient, and that goes away. And you can have blood in the semen. Sometimes it can take a couple of weeks to resolve, especially if you've been on like a blood thinner. And you have to make sure that if you're on a blood thinner, even aspirin, I tell my patients to hold off on aspirin if you're going to have a biopsy. Now, the other paper that came out, it was looking at the influence of the PSA since the United States Preventive Services Task Force said we're not going to, we're giving it a grade D rating, right? So the USPTA about a couple of years ago came out and said, we don't think that PSAs are all that great. And this article looked at urology practices and said, how many of these practices have been affected by this? What's going on? Are we reducing actually the number of biopsies? And in fact, the answer is no. And the USPSTF recommendation has not affected the number of patients referred. In fact, it looks like it's actually increased, because urologists now are doing more of these genetic tests, which I like a lot, this PSA3 test, which is a genomic or a genetic test for prostate cancer, and then repeating PSAs, and then they are, it does seem like they are continuing to do the same number of biopsies. So, I still think that the people that are on the front line, the primary care doctors, are still confused about PSA, who should get a PSA, who should not. And some of it is based upon legality, because you don't want to miss a cancer. And I did see a patient this week, I will tell you, that had a relatively low PSA, had a family history of prostate cancer, low PSA, it's like in the twos, threes, and then it went up to like four, and then had a biopsy, had been seeing his urologist for a while, never had a biopsy, and then had a biopsy, and then had Gleason 9 cancer. I mean, a fairly significant cancer that was picked up only because of a slight rise in the PSA value. I mean, going from like a 2 to a 4. Now, this is a weird, strange type of a presentation to have an aggressive, very aggressive cancer. And there are some cancers that just don't make a lot of PSA. But I still think there's certainly a lot of confusion out there. We'll go back to the phones. Greg's on the line from East Meadow. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good.
Just a question. I know we always talk about enlargement of the prostate. Is what exactly causes that benign enlargement or growth, and is there any way to prevent it?
Well, Greg, thank you always for your phone calls, and this is an interesting topic of looking at the biology of the prostate. I will tell you that I think when I see a guy who's in his early 50s and I do an ultrasound and I see an 80-gram prostate, which is a very large prostate, to me, it's usually genetics. It's usually passed down from generation. There's something within the genes of the prostate that get turned on from the male hormone. I mean, it's the male hormone. I mean, if you shut down testosterone level, you will shrink prostate. But no man wants to do that, because if you shut off his testosterone level, you're going to shut off his sex drive, his ability to have an erection, his ability to think properly, can affect your muscle mass, your bones, etc. So it is testosterone. Genetics plays a tremendous role here. I think that there is a component of diet. I have seen in my practice men that have had stress and eating poorly, and their prostate conditions flare up. I think that's not well studied. I think we need more information about the role of diet and prostate growth. But there's no doubt genetics plays a role. And time again, I'll ask a patient when he comes in and he's in his early 50s, let's say, and he can't urinate, or I do the ultrasound and it's a large prostate. I said, you have a brother with this condition, or your dad? Oh yeah, my dad. I remember my dad was up all night. He was walking the floors. And then he wound up needing a prostate surgical treatment. So, what can we do? There are medications. There are two that are FDA approved for this, if you want to go the pharmaceutical route. And I use it for patients that have large prostates, usually above 80 grams, that are having symptoms. One is called Avodart, and the other is called Proscar. Both of these medications interfere not with testosterone, but with the active molecule of prostate growth called dihydrotestosterone. And if you reduce dihydrotestosterone, you can shrink the prostate. It takes a long time. It's going to take 6 months, maybe a year, for you to reduce that prostate volume to go from, let's say, an 80 gram prostate to a 60 or a 50 gram prostate. And it'll also, because it's reducing the prostate size, it's going to reduce your PSA. But there are some potential, some real side effects that can occur. One is that a lot of the men will tell me that when they ejaculate, the volume is not as much. The other, which is, I think, higher than what the literature or what the pharmaceutical companies will tell you, is that men can suffer from erectile dysfunction. And in the reports that I've read, it's somewhere around maybe 3 to 5%. I think it's higher than that. There are a few men that need to be stopped from or discontinued from the Avodart or Proscar because of breast tenderness, nipple tenderness. You can get a rise in your estrogen levels. And this can cause nipple or breast tenderness and can be uncomfortable, and some of the men need to go off of that medication. But unfortunately, you know, the herbal world, the things like the salt palmetto, stinging nettles, they can, you know, pumpkin seeds. I like them to help with urinary symptoms in men that are starting to have early warning signs, but it's not going to shrink your prostate. I've never seen it happen. It's just not going to happen. And the other thing that can shrink your prostate is, well, obviously a procedure. I mean, if you were to have something like a procedure that I do, which is called the green light laser, which I do quite a bit, and I do them every almost now every Thursday for men that have been on medication like the Avodart or Proscar and are still having urinary symptoms and say, look, I'm not happy with this. I can't sit through a movie. I was talking about movies earlier. I mean, I can't sit through a movie. I can't go to dinner. I'm looking for a bathroom at every, you know, every corner of Manhattan. This is just really bothering me. I'm up too many times a night, and I've been on the medications, and I've tried the herbals. You know, I need a procedure, and the green light can fix the problem. I mean, it really can. I mean, it's an outpatient procedure. It's covered by insurance. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. There can be some side effects, though, specifically with the loss of the normal ejaculation. But you still can have an orgasm, still can have an erection. But there are some men that need it. And thankfully, we have these procedures now that can be done outpatient. You know, when I was training, it was all inpatient. You'd be in the hospital 3 or 4 days, and now it's 20 minutes. And if you're a good candidate for it, which many men are, you come into our beautifully renovated, by the way, you know, beautifully. Just this week, we went into the new renovation, and it's gorgeous, the operating rooms and the surgical suite there at Winthrop. And you have this procedure, and you go home. So I hope that answers your question, Greg. I don't know if you're still on the line. But we have a few more minutes left here. At the top of the hour, I was talking about a new clinical trial. It's called the Spartan trial. If you're just tuning in and listening now, this trial is, again, for men who have prostate cancer, have been on hormones without disease that's spread beyond the gland, and the PSA is still rising. You can give us a call. This trial is open at 516-663-9582. That number again is 516-663-9582. We have our metformin trial that is open. We're one of the only ones around that are looking at metformin in men that have had prostate cancer surgery or radiation, and their PSAs are rising. Great trial. You get all the study visits and the medications and nursing visits and whatever all for free. Again, a great trial if you are eligible. You can just give my office a call at 516-535-1900. So if you or a loved one hear about these things, and, you know, this is the way to move science ahead. It's clinical research. And we have research coordinators. We have our own internal a review board that reviews all these trials. Some of them are multi-center. Other centers around the country are participating. And some, like the metformin, is an investigator-initiated. We just thought of it ourselves. We looked at the data. We said, listen, metformin looks quite interesting. We have this brand-new research building that's really dedicated to obesity and diabetes. Let's look at something like metformin, because it's been shown in some studies to alter the course of diseases like breast cancer, like colon cancer. And there have been some studies that have said maybe it's good for prostate cancer. So we've opened the trial. It's up and running, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, I guess that's the music already. Thanks for the phone calls. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Great new intro, Mike. Thanks, Aaron, on the phones. And we'll see you next week. Also, I forgot to mention the Prostate Cancer Education Series, which will be this Wednesday night. Dr. Brett Mellinger. We'll be talking about erectile dysfunction after prostate cancer treatment. Stay warm, everyone. Have a great Sunday. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.